Monday night, Orla Gimel Kislev, Shmaitza Shir. We're going over the Shmaitza Beis, and we want to get clear. This is reverse synopsis, meaning we're going slower than the first time around, at least in the initial. Then we'll split up, obviously, but I want to get very clear as possible, given the time constraints and the Eifen Halimud. The Mishnah Ksubis, the Gorin Ksubis, the Hamadir Mumin. So we learned the case, the basic case. The Gemara asks Akasha, and we're in the terrace of the Gemara, which says that the Reisha is Rabbi Yeshua and the Seifa is Rabbi Gamliel, and that's just the way it is. Amar of Elazar Tavra. That right now, that's how we're approaching the Machlokes of Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel in the first parak. Which says, Anosi is a Yishuv Loi Motzula Basulim, and we're talking about the Mum aspect of Loi Motzula Basulim, not the Isser aspect, but the Mumin aspect, the Ksuba aspect, the Mekachtos aspect, the Mum aspect. I don't know. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Gamliel says, she's Nemon. She's saying, Nestap Chosodehu. It happened after the Erison, Misher Astani Nenasti, and therefore Nistap Chosodehu, it's his tough luck, and he's saying Voyemekochi Mekachtos. It's really very complicated because there's a machlekes in the Gemara if he's saying Voyemekochi Mekachtos Mamish, and no ksuba at all, because kinsa becheskas besula benimtsas beula. No, there it happens to be a machlokes if being a beula is a mum, or at least having a pesach besuach, I should say, because there's mukas seitz also. But if pesach besuach is a real bona fide mum, it's not so poshut. It is. There's an amor in the Gemara that it's not. And v'hoya mekochi mekachtos. When I wrote you a ksuba of 200, it should be a ksuba of 100. Okay, we'll put that on the side. Rabbi Gamliel says she's Nemon, even though he has the Cheskos HaGuf. Remember, are you looking for a Ksubis? Psochem. Okay. Yuma. Ari Stern is Yuma. He's Mr. Yuma. He has a sense of Yuma. Okay. So Rabbi Gamliel says that, and again, in Hilchos Fakus, we see a mum, we see something strange, unusual, something that affects the dine momenus dynamic of the couple, and we have a suffix when it happens, and that's called a richtika suffix. That's a drora. That's like when something happened is not something that's created through their argument. We have no idea when it happened. That's a built-in embedded suffix. That's really a good word, embedded. That's what you're looking for, to reach a madrega of suffix, where Sumchus would say Holkin, and the Rambam would say Suffik Lakula, and it would have all these rules of Rove and Chazaka, as if the suffix embedded in the case. I don't know, I make up the word, but I think it's a very good description, that the suffix is embedded in the Etzem happening. When something happened, before or after the Erison, is obviously such a suffix, and therefore, so, really, like, you say, well, then how much is Raya? End of story. So Rabbi Gamliel holds she has enough things on her side to be Motzi the Mormon. She has a Cheskos HaGuf, really. That's what's going for her. The Cheskos HaGuf saying that the Cheskos HaGuf, it happened under the bowels. It happened in the bowels domain. It happened by the bowel. And therefore she could ask for her full ksuba. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, lo mi piha anu chayim. Why should we believe her? A cheskos moment is odif. Now, exactly what the machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua is complicated, obviously. Very few, I think the Yeshua is a yochid in holding that Rabbi Gamliel holds straightforwardly that cheskos aguf could be motzi moment. The Rabbi Yeshua is the only one like that. In the Gemara, you see it's a combination of Cheskos HaGuf with Bori B'Shema, and perhaps Cheskos HaGuf with Migu. But El Rabbanim, all of this exists in the movement of Hamadir also. And Hamadir is the same case as the Yud Gimel Amid Beis, Yud Beis Amid Beis. It's just there it's talking about the mum of a bu'ula, which rather might not even be a mum at all, rather. I mean, not a mum to be mevatel the kedushin and to make a lose the ksuba totally. But here we're talking about a real mum, a heavy mum. But it's the same shaila. When did it happen? So we find in the ratio we say ala avla aviraya, and in the sefer we say ala bala aviraya. So we say, well, the ratios are Rabbi Shua. Which way did I say it? Yeah, the ratios are Rabbi Shua. The sefer is Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, now that's the first terrace of the Gemara. Now we go on. Amar Rava and the Fayin Hayam at Beis and Ksubis. After the Gemara says Tavra Misha Shana Zu Loi Shana Zu. Amar Rava. Lo Tamer Rabbi Yeshua. Now the Gemara here examines Rabbi Yeshua more so than it did in the first parak or the second parak. We're in the beginning of the second parak again. Rabbi Yeshua is brought down regarding Migu. Here the Gemara examines Rabbi Yeshua like more than it does in the first parak. Lo Tamer Rabbi Yeshua Lo Yozul Bozo Chazoka Dugu Faklal. Don't think Rabbi Yeshua negates Cheskus Aguf. When it's up against a cheskus moment, now Tosfos says, it's a little weird. Like, why wouldn't the Yeshua follow cheskus aguf? There's a din chazaka. Not everybody holds like Pesach Chapla that chazaka is just too weird to follow. We follow chazaka. So why? What is the chiddush in Rabbi Yeshua? And we're even going on. Maybe I stopped a little too early. And the Gemara even brings a raya. The Tanya. I'm sorry. Let's get back to the Gemara before Tosfos. The Tanya. Like we're bringing a raya that he follows cheskus aguf. In baharis kodem l'seya lavon. When you're dealing with a nega. And in the Nega, the many types of Nagoim, but the very first type the Torah speaks of has a white blotch on the skin, and the Simen Tuma Hechlet, that you're a Mitzora Muchlot Vadai Finito, is two white hairs in the Nega. That's the Simen Tuma of the Nega. Nagoim is a very long Dishabasech. Did you ever learn Nagoim? You have the Nega, and you have the Simen Tuma, two different dinim. You have what's a nega and what's a simen tuma of the nega. So the two hairs are a simen tuma. They're not the nega. The nega is the skin. The simen tuma of the nega is the hairs. Now the din is that the skin discoloration had to precede the two white hairs, as if something in the mitzora turned the hairs white. As if the nega turned the skin white. Turned the hairs white. So you need Baharis Kodmo Lo Seir Lovan, that's what it's called. But if the Seir Lovan is Kodmo Lo Baharis, then it's not a Simen Tuma of the Baharis. Baharis is the word used commonly throughout the Mishnayos to describe a Nega, even though in the Chumash, Baharis rather... Okay, we don't go into it.
Even in a case like that, how would you know if you see it at first, the Nega, and you've got...
You don't know, that's exactly what this Mishnah is doing. Bullseye! That's exactly what this Bryce is talking about. In Baharis Kaidim will say a love, and if you know that the Baharis came first, Tomei. Im say a love and Kaidim la Baharis. Tor. Safek, let's say you don't know. You don't know which came first. He doesn't know. The Kayan doesn't know. Nobody knows. So what do you do? So the Tanakama holds Tomei. Okay. Rabbi Shua Oimer Keha, which means. It could mean bright, really, or it could mean shvach, weak. My keha, or my rova keotor. Rabbi Shua, and obviously it's Rabbi Shua, that's why we're bringing this down. Rabbi Shua holds its tor. And it's because he follows cheskus aguf. That's the explanation. Rashi says, areu ke keo hanegami mareu. It's like the nega became not so white. Shehu tor. Okay, but the reason is cheskus aguf. So you see, he follows cheskus aguf. So don't think he doesn't follow cheskus aguf. He just doesn't follow cheskus aguf Now we go to Toysus Aval Hecha. Toysus doesn't even ask the question. He's obviously bothered by what in the world is going on. Mapit Om, we need Rayas that you follow Cheskos Aguf. Which. Cheskos Aguf? A nega is seen as an imperfection in the guf. And a Cheskos Aguf says you do not have a nega.
The white here for first? The Cheskos Aguf says the white here for first?
In a sense. It doesn't really. The Cheskos Aguf says you do not have a nega, and we'll say whatever we have to say. Whether we have to say, sometimes the Cheskos Aguf says it happened later. Here, it's the Cheskos Aguf says, b'chlal, there is no nega. Which will maneuver us into saying that the white hairs came first. I just mean to. The reason I took so long to answer your question, the answer to your question is yes. But I want to explain that the Cheskos Aguf doesn't directly say that. It says it indirectly. Normally, if we want to know when something happened, so the Cheskos Aguf says, you maintain the status quo till you know there was a change. So it directly addresses a question of when, because it says maintain the status quo until such time that you know it changed. In this case, it's Adarab, it's saying it never happened. There is no nega. It's not a nega, which says that the two hairs came first. Obviously, the Chazaka doesn't. Yeah, the Chazaka is not a riot. It is always what's bothering you. The Chazaka obviously doesn't tell us what you know which came. It does in a sense. It says there's no nega. If it says there's no nega, it says the two hairs came first.
Is it actually saying that? As opposed to saying there is a nega, but he's not
tameh. No, the words are synonymous as far as we're concerned. There is a nega that's not tameh, but in terms of Cheskos Aguf, there might as well be no nega. A nega that's tor is not seen as a mum. Obviously, if a nega that's tor would also be seen as an imperfection in the guf, then obviously Cheskos Aguf would not be able to tell you that the nega is tameh, because you have a nega. For sure, we see a nega. Obviously, a lechora negator is not considered an imperfection in the guf, and Cheskos Aguf doesn't address a nega that's tar.
There's a chazak on halacha, tar, and tameh. There's a chazak on that. There's no change in the body, right?
Right. That's Cheskos Aguf. Exactly.
So the white hairs is also a change in the body.
You're asking good. But the answer is we're not talking about, in this case, we're not talking about a physical deformity. We're talking about a conceptual one. If it's a nega, meaning a nega tummy.
So it's like a fuck of a tummy and tar, sort of.
No. Yes and no. No and yes. Sort of is a good answer. In other words, a cheskos tohar is a weaker chazaka than a cheskos aguf. So if you would just say you have a cheskos tyra here, which is definitely true, you wouldn't be left with this, you know, strong chazaka of cheskos aguf. We're going to see in Taisus that we're looking for a strong chazaka. The Rabbi Shua holds cheskos aguf is the strongest chazaka. And therefore, we say as a chiddush, even Rabbi Shua holds it's a strong chazaka. It just can't be motzi moment, but it is the strongest chazak in the world, stronger than all other chazakas.
White hairs is a change in the guf. White hairs.
That's the statement.
White hairs is a change in the guf. And the nega is a change.
Not everything is a change in the guf. Is a significant change in the guf. If a person has a mole on his body, a mole, M-O-L-E, right? So cheskos aguf doesn't address it. If a mole would be a mum, so significant that it's mevatel a mekach, that it's mevatel a kiddushin, then a significant, then it becomes significant, and then Cheskos Aguf would address it.
Well, the most significant is the skin discoloration.
No, it's only because it's tamei. That's what you see. You see from the Gemara we just learned that Cheskos Aguf.
That's a Cheskos Tohar, no?
No. You're asking good, but you have to be a lamdan here. You see from the Gemara that a nega tomei You know what it's like? If I tell you, there are women that are significant enough to be mevatel the kiddushin, and there are women that are not significant enough to be mevatel the kiddushin. Now, in terms of cheskos haguf, there wouldn't really be a difference, you know, a mum's a mum, you know. What the difference if she has a scar here on her face or a scar here on her by her collarbone? Yet one's mevatel the kiddushin. One, we say, if he knew about it, he wouldn't have been mekadesh her. And on the collarbone, we don't say that. I'm making up a story, yeah? So now, if we have a subject when it happened, let's say for some reason we wanted to know when the one by the collarbone happened. So, I the Rav would say, I'm sorry, Cheskos HaGuf doesn't address a scar by the collarbone. Because it's not that much of an imperfection that Cheskos HaGuf would say, oh, this scar, whatever. You know, because it's not significant. It's only because of its halachic significance when it's mevatel kiddushin that it say, wow, that's a mum. You know, in Shemayim, that's a mum and that's not a mum. That's a scratch. That's a scar and that's a scratch. What? If it has no halachic significance, I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't know. It was just an example. My point is a negato. I could. Let's forget the mushroom. Let's talk about the case we're talking about. To me, it's not surprising that a cheskos haguf could tell you that a nega is tomei, even though your skin is discolored and the two white hairs are there, even if it's tohor, if the two hairs came first. So in essence, what the cheskos haguf is addressing, as Pesach pointed out, is really just the order in which it became white. The skin for the... Now, why would cheskos haguf address that? And that's an excellent, excellent point. I think the answer is, and by the way, Rabbanan hold Tomei, and the Rishonim struggled to know why Rabbanan hold Tomei. And maybe what you're saying, they don't answer what you're answering. But maybe what you're suggesting, if we would be learning Hamadir, maybe what you're suggesting would be an explanation in the Chachamim, because right after we finish explaining Rabbi Yeshua, we're going to have to turn around. Tosfos asks, why do Rabbanan hold Tomei for? Why? Rabbi Yeshua was making a very good point. So maybe they hold your point. So what I'm saying, it's not conclusive, but we're in Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua obviously holds Tohar. Rabbi Yeshua obviously, the Rishonim say hold Tohar because of Cheskos HaGuf. That's not so obvious, but the Rishonim speak it out, and the Gemara really, and the flow of the Gemara, it's because of Cheskos HaGuf that he's Matar, because that's the whole Gemara's point, to show that Rabbi Yeshua follow Cheskos HaGuf. I'm asking you to hear the svara that a nega that's tomei would be considered a guf imperfection, while a nega that's tor would be, hey, I got some ink on my hands. I know. No, the Gemara, though. I said that's the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to prove that Rishonim hold the Cheskos HaGuf. The Rishonim speak out as pshat in the Mishnah. Obviously for the Gemara, that's what the Gemara learned. Now, these things are subtle. The Shemaitza, you see there's a machlokas achronim. If the mikvah that has, if the mikvah becomes 39 saw as opposed to 40, there's a machlokas achronim if the chazakah there, and there's a chazakah, the Gemara says there's a chazakah, the mikvah is becheskos, okay. Now we see it's not okay, and the question is, when did it happen? So there's a cheskos okay. So some achronim, the Shmaitzer brings it down. Some achronim say, we're going to have that. We're going to have that in two prokim. Some achronim say that it's a cheskos din, like you just said, cheskos tyra, cheskos kashrus. It's becheskos kosher. While some achronim insist that it's on the level of a cheskos aguf. Now obviously, the Shmaitzer says not, by the way. Shmaita says it's just a cheskos din, it's not a cheskos aguf. Now, Pesach Chaplain would say, rightfully, well, what kind of cheskos aguf is there? Like, if it's 39 or 40 saw, is not exactly an imperfection in this pit. whether it has this money, this much water, or that much water, which is the Shmaitzer's point, really. I'm just showing you these things are subtle, and they're not always so poshut. There are those who hold that the chazaka of by the mikveh is a cheskes haguf, and I would, and there I would apply the same type of svara I'm saying now, that that's the significance of the mikveh being posel metamorphoses into something more than just kosher or posel, but it says this is an imperfect mikveh. It's a flawed mikveh, flawed. It's a flawed mikveh. It's a not good mikveh. It's not just, you know, it's 39 saw. It's flawed. There's something wrong with it, and therefore we could have a cheskos haguf. The difference between 39 and 38 saw, for example, obviously would not be able to be resolved with cheskos haguf. If somebody bought a mikveh, if somebody said, "I want to buy a mikveh from you," a 39 saw, let me ask. He wants 39 saw. He wants to fill it up himself. Then he checks later, and it's 38 saw, and they're fighting if it's a mekhtos or not. Right? So you can't use a cheskos haguf. Nobody would hold. Even the achronim that hold that if it needed dav bezum and beis, the chazaka by the mikveh would be a cheskos haguf. Yeah. No one would hold that in an argument between 39 and 38 saw, you could use cheskos haguf. Because that's for sure not.
It's also in the material itself.
It's not a flawed mikveh. There's nothing flawed. It's just a question of how much water it has.
Change or not change in the material itself, as opposed to the external, like where it is, or like with the vinegar and the wine. It depends if it's an internal change in the actual, you know, sense of the thing of just the physical thing itself. That's part of it. I'm not saying that's
mainly what it is. The chiddush here by nega is that the halachic status of the nega lechora is reflected as, or manifests itself as, like a mum in the body, and otherwise you say, just like you don't think anything if you have a pen mark on your body, or if you're sunburned a little and it's a little red, so it's a little red, a little white, what do you care? But if it's tummy, it takes on a significance, and then we can use cheskos haguf. Okay, so it's like the difference between a significant mum and an insignificant mum. Okay. So now, but Tosis Devi Maschal Abel Hecha explains, Pirish. When you look at the Gemara without Tosis, it's funny. Like, we have to prove that Rabbi Shua holds of Cheskos Haguf. Like, why wouldn't he hold the Cheskos Haguf? We know that there's a din of Chazaka. So Tosis says, Pirish, Abel Gavdika Chazaka Acheris Kenegat Cheskos Haguf. But we're trying to show that Rabbi Shua holds the Cheskos Haguf. Rava saying, like, even though Rabbi Shua does not hold of Cheskos Haguf here, that's only to be Moitzi Momen. But in general, Cheskos Haguf is the strongest chazaka in the world, except for Cheskos Momen. You know, Cheskos Momen, you know, now you're laughing. Cheskos Momen is the only thing it has in common with other chazakas is the word chazaka. It doesn't say anything. It just says, if I'm holding it, so you have to get it away from me. You need a raya. It's like
the only thing that matters is the same. It's status quo. That's what a chazaka is.
Yeah, but that's the word chazaka. I said that's the only word that's saying. Yeah, but it doesn't function in the matter of other chazakas. It doesn't say when something happened or how. So it just says, hey. You want the money? Go. You have an uphill battle.
It doesn't even address the tavla or any of that.
Nothing. It really. The expression possession is 9/10 of the law
definition of
is like sort of a reflection of Cheskos Momen. Not really. I'm like the Mechavel of Araya. You want money in my pocket is like powerful. And if you want to take it away from me, then you have to bring a Araya. So that's why it's like, when you say he holds Chazaka, Cheskos Haguf is the strongest Chazaka, except for Cheskos Momen. It's not so funny, because Cheskos Momen is taka, a very unique type of chazaka. It has no dynamic, like it doesn't say anything, it doesn't address anything, it just stands there like this. It says, take the money away from me, I dare you, take the money away from me. Yeah?
That's how we define ownership.
Okay, you could say that.
Well, to an extent, yes, but also to an extent, no, because we learned before in a case that, you know, if I came and took the money from you when you weren't looking, now I've got it. But then now, who's got to bring the proof?
Well, that's a question of there's a suffix, Tukfakoyim, and see the other, Tukfakoyim, and see the other. Okay, so Tosfos explains that that's what the Gemara is dealing with. The Gemara is not dealing with if Rabbi Yeshua holds of Chazaka. Like, how in the world could he not hold of Chazaka? It's talking about that the Chiddush of Rabbi is that Rabbi Yeshua even holds that Chazaka. Sanguth is strong, more powerful than any other Chazaka. But still, it can't be Moshi Momin. Pirish, Avogadika Chazaka Acher. This is very important for the Shmaitzer, by the way. This Tosfos, that's why I'm learning it, because the Shmaitzer deals with the Pshat and the Gemara based on this Tosfos, that we're proving that Chazkas Aguf is stronger than other Chazakas. And that becomes very important for Shmaitzer Beis Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. It deals with Chazkas Aguf being stronger than other Chazakas. So that's why this Tosfos is so important to learn. Pirish Avogad Dika Chazaka Acheris Keneged Chazkas Aguf Ki Hocha. What's here? In our Mishnah, what is there besides Cheskos Momin? The beloved Cheskos Momin, and as we want to say, Cheskos Aguf would really win, because it's stronger than other Chazakas. It just can't be mostly from a Cheskos Momin. So what Chazakas are up against here, besides Cheskos Momin? Says Tosfos, Yesh Chazaka Acheres, the Hamidenu B'Cheskos Pnuya. Whoa, you want to know if there's a Cheskos Pnuya? You want to know if there's a Mekach Tos here? She never became an Eishas Ish. I told you last night there's no Cheskos Eishas Ish if one of the tzadim of your suffix is maybe she was never an Eishas Ish. Right? But I really spoke much too gently. Adarab, it is a Cheskos Pnuya. She's a Cheskos Pnuya. If your suffix really turns into if she ever became an Eishas Ish, then you could use Cheskos Pnuya to say that she never became an Eishas Ish. Certainly any, I'm not sure what you mean, what you're referring to. Certainly any Mekach Tos deals with a Moshe Mechbel of Araya, which is stronger than anything else. Would it? There is no, the only equivalent Chazaka to Cheskos Pnuya would be called Cheskos Morakama. Yeah, but Cheskos Muchzok is always wipes away Morakama. Muchzuk always wipes away Morakama, by definition. For Muchzuk to be Muchzuk, it's always against the Morakama, the last known owner. Muchzuk wipes away the last known owner.
She went ahead and got a Mekach Tos.
Be still, wrong, still a Muchzuk in the money. You're a Muchzuk in the money. If I'm claiming Mekach Tos, I'm claiming you were never an Eishas Ish. But you are a muksuk in the money, no matter what I claim. That's a reality that you're muksuk in the money. And muksuk trumps Morakama. You're right. But you're thinking of Morakama, and muksuk always trumps Morakama.
See, we're not talking about that yet.
No one hinted at that yet. No one hinted at yeah, but we're learning now this Gemara and this Tosfos. Nobody talked about another Tzavik Meshuso yet. We're talking about good old Moshe Mechavel of Araya, and Yocheverusa raised a very valid point, but I gave a valid teretz, that the equivalent of saying Cheskos Pnuya by every Tzavik of Momin, by every Mekach Tos, would be the last known owner. Right? But there's something that trumps that Chazaka, always. Muchzuk. When you have a Muchzuk, you don't follow the last known owner. There is a Chazaka. That is what the Bishua says. That Mamish is what he says. We're all saying it's only because of the Cheskos Momin that the woman loses. But otherwise, the Cheskos Aguf would trump Cheskos Pnuya. That's exactly what Tosfos says. Cheskos Pnuya is also helping the husband. If you have a question if it's a Mekach Tos or not, so her Cheskos Pnuya is mitigating towards saying that she's not an Eishes Ish. Again, you're not clearing if there was a get. You're clearing if she was ever an Eishes Ish. So Cheskes Penuya says, no, she wasn't. Until you know there was a change in her status.
She went ahead and got married.
But we're saying, but the husband's saying it's a mekachtos. Those are saying you were never married.
That doesn't ruin the chazaka, the wedding, getting married.
No. There is something, again, there is something called a reyusa, and that's way beyond, as Artscroll says, it's beyond the scope of this discussion. So make believe you never heard the word. No, she got married, but the husband's saying it was not a marriage. It was a sham. It was a joke. It was a camp play. You know, tonight's night activity is chasana. You know, they make a mock wedding. It was a mock wedding. Okay, stop here. I think it's worthwhile what we're doing. I think you should make sure. This is a very important yesoda.